I should like to read first with you from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We read Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. My friends, our life is full of sorrow, suffering, sadness. When a baby is born, the first thing what he or she does is crying. Not laughing. Crying. And how many fears there are in the life of a child. How many pains. And how the heart of a mother can be broken by the loss of her child, or when she sees the suffering of her beloved one. And when we are parents and have children, we all know that. We see their pain and sickness often we cannot really help. Pain in body, but also in our spirit. How many people are disabled? Yes, this earth is called often a valley of tears. So many broken relations, divorces, an ocean of sorrow, and at the end, the death. The death. What is the cause? This life is not really life. It's death. We are in the middle of the death. Every man, every child, every human being, we lie in the middle of the death. And we have the spiritual death in our soul, and we have the causes of our sin in our life every day, and we are all on our journey to death. There's only one word which declares everything. Three letters. Sin. Sin. There was a Puritan minister, and sometimes he said his word in his congregation. Sin. And then there was no one with dry eyes. People felt by the working of the Holy Spirit how endless, terrible is sin. For that's the only cause of all our sufferings, all our miseries. Sin, my sin. When the Lord created us, we had no sin. We had no sickness. We had no sorrow. Nobody was disabled. Nobody was unhappy. When there is no sin, there is no sorrow. There's the communion, the open, tender, wonderful communion with God. There is the love and the unity with each other. There is perfectness in body and soul. And the Lord saw all what he had created. And lo, it was very good. But there came sin. We were warned. Don't eat from that tree. When you eat, then you shall die. Then you shall surely die. So is the translation in the English King James Version. But in the Hebrew, there is written, at the moment that you eat and sin, you become a dying person. Dying, you shall die. Immediately, there comes death, spiritual death, fear. I feared thee, said Adam. He fled for the Lord. And that's the nature of every man. Fear for death, fear for the meeting with God. When sin came, there came sorrow, there came death. And our whole life, by nature, is covered by death, is ruled by death. And all what we suffer is a remembrance at our sin, at our death. In paradise, we listened to the devil. And he sins from the beginning. He is sin. He delights in sin. and he delights in destroying people in body and soul. And I'm working in the jail. You see the influence of sin very clear, but not there only. Also in the churches. And people don't love each other. There comes division. Suffering. Sin. Lack of love. Satan is busy. He seeks and works our death. He divides. And as long as we listen to him, we are in death. And end in eternal death. That's the most sad thing. Maybe sometimes you feel it. That's the reason that we invited our neighbors here from the church to come. They are, when they don't know Christ, on the way to death, to eternal death, eternal wrath. It cannot be said in words how endless unhappy a man is by nature, a man is by sin, in the might and the power of the devil, thinking I'm free, and yet a slave of sin, of devil, and his own lusts. And therefore the most important thing in human life is to be freed from sin. All other things are not really important compared with that only thing. To be really freed from sin and to be released from the power of Satan. For take away your sin, then you take away your death and all what belongs to it. And that's the wonderful love of God. That after our fall, he came to us to call us. Where art thou? I'm in death. I'm far from thee. I'm the most unhappy creature on the earth. Adam and Eve, they didn't realize that at the moment, but I think later on. And then the Lord calls us, where art thou? Then he comes to us in our lostness. He opens our eyes for it. He breaks our heart. And our hearts begins to cry for God, the living God, for the blood that cleans of all sin. It is possible. That's the glorious gospel. The only gospel, the only message which can make us really happy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's wonderful when that message, that glorious gospel, reached our heart and broke it. That the love of God became poured out in our soul, and that we by grace exercise faith, living faith in the living God, in the living Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He took our death, our misery, our guilt. We read it. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He descended from heaven. And he came in our misery. And he took our sin, sin of the world, and took it away. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He is God, he who never sinned. Out of pure love for enemies, for sinners,
for people who are in the middle of death, who can impossibly relieve themselves. He came.
And that he may hear and preach that wonderful message. That's so wonderful. Yet we did not esteem him. That's the most terrible, isn't it? When we don't esteem such a blessed Savior, when we don't love and know such a blessed Savior, we did not esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you understand that these wonderful things must become reality in the life of each of us. That what the Lord did, that he did it for me. That we by true saving faith can say, but he was wounded for my transgressions. And he was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes I am healed. Very personally. Wonderful. When we can say that by grace. And by a living faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are released from our death and our misery. And that's the most wonderful experience in human life. When that becomes a sweet reality in our heart, by saving faith, the Lord took away my sin. I have no sin. I have no sin at all. He took them all away. I have no death, for Christ died for me. I went over from death in life. Is that not wonderful? Oh, that's the most wonderful thing we can have and experience in this life. That goes above all understanding. The peace which goes above all understanding comes in the heart of a sinner and take away all fear for death. When we are united with Christ, he lives in us and we in him, and he prepares us for that wonderful place where no inhabitant shall say, I am sick. But without Christ, you are alone in your misery. Here in this life, you are alone in the hour of your death, and you are alone into all eternity. But maybe you say, the children of God, do they not have their portion of misery, loss, sadness? Well, they have. In the Bible we see a lot of examples, and the Lord Jesus himself says, in the world you shall have tribulation. And the Apostle Paul, he teaches us that we must enter into the kingdom of God by many tribulations. But in this word, tribulation, in the Greek language, is a secret hidden. For the literal meaning of this word is the pain of a woman in travail, in the pains of childbirth. And we as men, we don't know by experience what pain that is. But a woman among us who experienced it, they know it really. But we all know it's very painful, but how wonderful is the end and the gladness when a child is born. Mother forgets all her pain. And so it is with the children of God. There is such a great difference between a true believer and an unbeliever. When we are not saved and hidden in Christ, we are warned by every pain and by every sorrow. And the message is, this is yet the beginning of eternal death. This is a foretaste of what is coming in an endless eternity. And every pain, every loss, every sorrow is a warning, a loving warning of the Lord. Repent and return to your Creator in the only way He gave in Jesus Christ. And so our sufferings and our losses can be a blessing and shall be a blessing. We are remembered by it. How short our life is and how short our time is. The time as a time of preparation for eternity. And when our sorrows bring us to the man of sorrow, and our crosses bring us to the cross of Christ, and we are relieved by Him from our sin, then we are blessed. Then our misery is blessed. Then our sorrow and loss is blessed. But otherwise, it shall be so terrible. And when we are saved, we have to suffer a lot, often more than the world. It's the way of the Lord to make us holier, to bring us closer to Him, and to make us more longing for the place where He is, and where God is all in all. And therefore we read in Romans 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed." But yet we can have a lot of questions about suffering and loss. We see in the Bible that the children of God wrestle and struggle with questions and temptations. And I give you some examples. And then I think at Job. Job lived probably in the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That time, we don't know it, surely, but it must be about in that time. "And the Lord said from him, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fear God and eschew evil." And what had he to suffer? Loss of all his properties. How should you feel yourself when you came at home and everything was burned down? And you think, well, I'm rather wealthy. And within one day you are nothing. We see it in the time in which we live. People think, I have a lot. And in some days they see their wealthy become nearly nothing. People make an end in their life, some, because their loss of earthly things. And Job, he lost everything. He was one of the most rich men of his time. And in one day, he had nothing. Loss of properties. That can be hard. But much more hard was the loss of all his children. It is very, very hard to lose one child. And you can never know that until you lose one. The pain, sorrow about the loss of one child. But when you lose all your children, then Job, he was a loving father. He was very careful for their soul. When they had their birthday, he offered sacrifices for each of them. For he said, maybe my children sinned in their heart and forget God. Maybe. I'm not sure, but I fear. What a tender love and care for the soul of his children. And then there came the tiding. They are dead. Try to image that in your heart. The loss of one child. And then the loss of all his 10 children. He suffered it. He suffered also the loss of his wife. One of the greatest blessings in this life is a good and loving marriage. But his own wife said, make an end at your miserable life. This is no life. I can miss you. The loss of his friends, his best friends, with whom he was united in Christ, in the bonds of true love. And they said to him, Job, you cannot be our friend any longer. You are a cursed man. You are a hypocrite. That's not possible, that a man suffer so a lot when God is really with him. The Lord has left you quite alone. And he lost his health. So he lost everything. And what was the most bad thing in the suffering of Job? That for his own feeling, he lost his Lord. Lord, where art thou? That was the most bad thing. That there came a separation, a division between his Lord and him. When I'm looking forwards, I don't see him. When I'm looking backwards, I don't find him. Where is God? Is that not one of the most difficult things in our suffering? When we in our suffering, our losses, feel the nearness of the Lord, we can bear it. With him we can bear everything. But when we don't have that, and when we know by experience what it is to be near the Lord, and to feel his nearness and his love and his strength in all our afflictions, then we can bear it, then we can have it. But when we don't have that, and Job, in his severe suffering, he didn't have that, for he was angry in his heart. And he cried, why? What's the reason? What's the cause? Can a child of God can be so blind sometimes? For we can know it. We are not worthy the least of the blessings of the Lord. Oh, we can say it so easy. I'm death worthy. I'm not worthy the least of thy mercies with our lips. But when the Lord really take away everything, say we it then too. We see it in Job, a man of God, as the world maybe never saw after him. And yet there came a division, and that was the most bad thing in his suffering. And he cried to the Lord, not for comfort, but he wanted to understand it. The Lord had to explain him why Job had to suffer such a lot. In the beginning, he could say, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But later on, there came the questions. And there was not a special reason. He wanted to know what was the reason. Of course there is a reason. Sin. Sin. Then the Lord does with us according our sin. We deserve really death and hell. Why must this happen? It are often questions which rise in us and live in us and make us unquiet, uncomfortable, and make our loss and our suffering heavier. For when we can agree with the Lord, we are comforted. I told you in one of my sermons, I think, of a mother, and she lost 3 children. And the first time she said with Job, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And with the second child, she said nothing, but she was silent. And when the Lord took her third child, she was angry and was sitting on the chest. And her child was born out and said, and this child you shall not have, it's mine. That's a man. Job, there was not a visible cause of all his sorrows. And yet he didn't get an answer on all his questions and all his whys. But the Lord left him not alone. The Lord let his people never alone, my dear friends. It can be in our feelings so, our experience so, but it's not a reality. The Lord stays and is with his people. What was the answer of God to Job? There was no answer. There was no explanation. The Most High didn't explain to Job why he did so. But the Lord took him as a little child with him and showed him his greatness in his creation, his might, his power, his wisdom. And when so Job came closer to the Lord became greater and greater. He increased more and more. And Job became smaller and smaller, more and more. And then at the end, he was so ashamed and said, I have uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I have heard thee by hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee. And the result was all his sufferings brought him nearer to the Lord. Let that be our prayer. What we have to suffer, it's out of the hand of our Heavenly Father, who never makes any mistake, and who has only one desire, that we glorify him, that we live close to him. And therefore we need the chastisements and the crosses. I won't quote another example of the children of God which had much problems with the sufferings and the losses in his life. And that was Asaph. He had an important position in the house of God in the time of King David. And he was a very godly man. But yet he had a great problem.
He saw the prosperity of the godless. I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he said, for they are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble like other men. And there was such a difference between what he saw in godless people and his own position and his own life. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. A heavy cross, every morning. The same, a heavy burden on his heart. We don't know what it was, but it was terrible. The thorn in the flesh, he couldn't bear it. And then he saw other people, no problems, no losses, no sorrows. They could live as they wanted. Prosperity everywhere, in their family, in their business. And my plague. I have been plagued and chastened every morning. What was his big problem? Well, he says it himself. For I was envious and foolish.
Happy man, he thought, without suffering, in prosperity, in wealth and health, happy man? No, no, friends, you are not happy when you have nothing more than that. What was the solution for Asaph? Until I went in the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end.
Then he saw it with the light of the Spirit. His eyes were opened and he saw reality. Then I understand, in the real presence of God, in the light of the Spirit, I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction.
And then he didn't want to exchange with them. No, not at all. Do you have that moment too? That you don't want to exchange with all your troubles, with all your miseries, with all your crosses, that you are yet a happy man or woman? For he could say, and I hope by grace we can say it all, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Continually with thee. Continually, every day, every moment. What a happy man to be not now and then with the Lord, but continually. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. He felt the loving pressure of the hand of the Lord, united together. Happy man, let we suffer what we suffer. Let the crosses of our life be heavy. But when the Lord took our hand and we are living at his right hand, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, thy counsel, thy perfect wisdom. I don't know anything, but my Savior knows everything, and that's enough for me. Thy counsel. And afterwards, receive me to glory. He saw on that what is coming. Glory. Eternal glory. What a difference. Short time here, suffering. Sanctified by suffering. And then eternal joy. And the godless people here, a short time of enjoying and pleasure, and then eternal sorrow, eternal death. And then Asaph was so happy in his suffering. he could bear his cross so very light. Whom have I in the heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The most happy man on the earth, Asaph. All the children of God, did you sing it with all your heart? My portion forever, God himself. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou destroyest all them that go a warring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. A happy man, a child of God, the only people on this earth which is really happy, that's the people of the living God. And so our sufferings and losses can and shall be a blessing and are used by the Lord to prepare us for eternal glory. And then we enter in his kingdom of peace and perfect happiness, the place without sin. Sin is away. Sin lays behind us. And eternity lies before us. When Christ is our life, our dying is gain. And soon we shall be there, where no inhabitant shall say, I am sick. Where the hearts of the whole church are united and filled with the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let it be our desire and prayer to be prepared for that place. Amen.